Let us pray. Almighty God, our Father, we come to thee because thou art the Lord, and because by thy mercies we are thy children. Come to us in thy power, and make thyself known to us as thou art. Come to us and teach us to open our hearts to thee. Come to us and strengthen us in our faith and for our tasks. And come this day and speak to us through thy word. We pray through the risen Lord. Amen. I'm going to tell you this because you wouldn't believe it. Last fall, Dr. Spencer, in October, suggested to me he'd like for me to speak in chapel. Oh, no, I said. I spoke last May. I'll tell you, I said, trying to put him off, I said, let me speak Easter week. And he said, we'll try to arrange it. Well, this morning I got to school at 20 minutes until 8. A very cheerful Christian I was. You have to be cheerful to get here that early to school. Went by the phone, picked up one of these announcement sheets in my mind saying, well, what's going to be in chapel today? And found I was it. Well, then let me tell you something else. I've told some of my students this. Through the years, since I've graduated from college, I've had a nightmare that has often gone like this. I get to Greek class. I majored in Greek in college. I get to Greek class in my dream, and the professor says, well, here's your test. Well, I hadn't remembered we had a test. And then I wake up and it was a bad dream. Now, since I became a theological professor, a few times I have dreamed that I was going to have to speak in chapel and wasn't prepared. But this time I woke up and it was so. Now, I'm going to ask the Lord to give me a third nightmare beginning tonight. And I want to dream it every night at least for 6 months. And this is what it is. I see Spencer running. I see Spencer running at full speed as if he would run a 100-yard dash in 5 seconds. And the devil's after him. And just before I wake up, the devil gets him. Some years ago, I read a book by Stuart Holbrook entitled Dreamers of the American Dream. It's very fascinating. It's an account of how God really gave inspiration, or some persons felt that it simply came to them out of their own. Inspiration to do something out of the ordinary, to do something that would change life for themselves and for other people. It's such a delightful story, especially in the way Holbrook makes conclusions about what made these people different. The people, really, who have helped to change our country and change the world because they dreamed a great dream. In the profoundest sense, the book of Acts is a story of Dreamers. It's a story of people who believed a great dream. We have come to the season of the cross and of Easter. And it's a good time for us to remember that that story began a long time ago. And it may just be that looking at the lives of people who were so close to it so long ago, that we can learn something for ourselves for this most holy season. Because in the profoundest sense today, those of us who preach the gospel are dreamers of a dream. And it's a good thing to learn afresh something about the beginning of it all. And it may be that looking back there, we will learn something very real for here. I remind you especially today for this devotion of the day of Pentecost and the sermon that Peter preached that day. What Peter said to those who asked the question, "What does all of this mean?" Peter's response to those who asked the question was something like this. This means that what God has been doing for a long time is coming to fulfillment. What this means is that Jesus Christ is the meaning of what God is doing. What this means is that his cross is at the center of it. His resurrection is at the center of it. His lordship at God's right hand is at the center of it. And when they who inquired asked of Peter, "What then shall we do?" he asked them to enter the fellowship of the name of Jesus. Because he said, this promise is meant for you and for your children and for all the world. So today we remember Peter's sermon. And we remember the glory of the early church, that community of faith. And we're here in this chapel today because we believe that the promise was meant for us, for our children, and for the whole world. That is the part of the joy and glory of the faith that we proclaim. So we are dreamers, those who believe in the profoundest sense that people can dream great dreams. And they can come true in human life. Dreamers, according to Holbrook, have a starting point that is different from people around them. This was certainly true of the people, so many of them, who made our country its greatest. And because they had a different starting point, they helped to make life wonderfully better for ever so many people. Surely it is true that those of us who think of this old, old story know very well that we have a different starting point too, and we start where Peter did. We start with the promises of God that find their fruition in Jesus Christ. He is the starting point of our faith, so that we are able to say about him that our understanding of life begins with him. Our interpretation of ultimate reality is found in him, in this man who has lived among us. He, the crucified and risen one, the Lord of the church and the Lord of the world, he is the beginning point for the church. And in our time, when we come to the season of the cross and of Easter, it's a good thing to remind ourselves, do we really, who espouse Jesus, really begin with him? Is our understanding of life really found in him, in his cross, in his resurrection, in his lordship? That is the message of Easter. That's still the message of the proclaimers of Jesus Christ. In the second place, dreamers are driven by a different source of power. Certainly it was true that the people who have given themselves to great dreams and great missions in this country were convinced that there was something within them that was driving them on. As some of you perhaps may have seen on television not long ago, the story of Livingston and the story of Stanley. Here just recent examples of a tremendous giving of self to a great ambition, to a great dream. Certainly it is true that there have been now almost countless American heroes who've given themselves to the dream of making life different because they have felt it is, they have been compelled by it, by a power that has driven them. I remember so very well in the first church I served after leaving the seminary that it became necessary for us to rebuild the pipe organ. The organ builder came and he worked on it for 45 days. And one day I came into the sanctuary, and when he saw me, he said, "It's finished." I said to him, "Play it." "Well," he said, "it is finished here, but I've got to go down into the basement. I've got to check all of the pipes." He said, "Really? I got to see that the electricity is operating properly." He said, "You see, really, as perfect as the instrument is, it wouldn't play anything if it wasn't given some power." Through those years since, I have thought this is a wonderful picture of these lives of ours. However upright and however conscientious they are, they must be given a power, not their own, that does not simply arise within them. It's a power that must be given them. And Peter was a transformed man that day, not because he was a suddenly powerful man, or he had been off to study at the seminary, but because he had received the power of God into his life. God made him strong. And so he and the other witnesses to the faith preached through the corridors of the ears that there is a source of power that gives the church its strength in all of its weeks, all of them holy in the gospel. But surely at the season of the cross and of the resurrection, the church wants to remember that first sermon in which all who would hear were reminded that God is at work in the church. And then there is a third thing about dreamers in the 20th century or the first, and that is that they have a different goal from people around them. It really doesn't make any difference to a great dreamer whether people around him believe everything that he believes or not. That's not his motivation. There is something else that outside that has gripped him and seized him. The vision has him. The dream has him. And he gives his life. Surely it has been true since that first Pentecost so long ago that those who have really met Jesus Christ know that the goal for them in life is not the same for people around them. It has been given to them. It is their dream. It is their vision. It is what God has done and can do in human life. This goal is to declare to the world, as was done so long ago, the goal is still the same, to declare that heaven has come down to earth in Jesus Christ. We can say more triumphantly and lovingly than Elizabeth Barrett Browning ever did about her husband. We can say about our Lord, the face of all the world is changed, I think, since first I heard the footstep of thy soul. Heaven has come down, and heaven has lived with us. And that's a great glory for human life and for the meaning that God means us to have in the light of his purpose for mankind. Heaven has come down to proclaim to earth that its resting place is in heaven. He sits at the right hand of the Father because it belongs to him. And we are called to sit with him, not as his equal, but because he is our Redeemer, because he beckons us there, because he teaches us that we have never found our place until we find our place there. And it's a good thing, near the holy season of the cross in Easter, to think about our mission, our dream, our goal. It's life with God now and in the unfolding future. I want to remind you, and this is especially the temptation of the theologian, to read the story of Pentecost as if it is simply a chapter in the history of the church. That is to tragically misunderstand it. It is a chapter in the history of the church. But by the glory of the gospel, it is meant to be a chapter in your human experience and mine. And so it's good to ask ourselves at the holy season, what is this gospel? What is this Christian life? In my life, as I remember those great events that brought it to its great glory upon the earth, is it history and just that? Or is it history and my experience too? Let us remember the word of the Lord given to Peter. It was meant for you and for your children and for the whole world. Amen. Almighty God, our Father, who has blessed our coming in, bless our going forth to do thy work in the world thou dost love and for which Christ died.